Today on Family Talk.
Welcome, everyone, to this Friday edition of Family Talk, a radio ministry supported by listeners just like you. I'm Roger Marsh, filling in for your host, Dr. James Dobson, today. And please know how much we appreciate you joining us each and every day. Now, we have a special program planned for you today that highlights a brand new movie that is in theaters right now. The movie is called Overcomer, and I really hope that every Christian family plans to head to the theater this weekend to see it. It comes from the creative minds of Stephen and Alex Kendrick, producers of the popular movies such as Facing the Giants and Courageous and War Room. A few months ago, Family Talk's Dr. Tim Clinton was able to sit down with one of the film's actors, author and speaker Priscilla Shire. Now, Priscilla is an incredible woman of God who is doing amazing things through her ministry and her outreach. If you have not heard Priscilla Shire speak before, you will be blown away by her passion and her knowledge of God's Word. She is the daughter of Dr. Dobson's dear friend, Dr. Tony Evans, by the way. There's a lot of ground to cover, so let's get started. Here now is Dr. Tim Clinton to further introduce our guest on this edition of Family Talk.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Tim Clinton. I'm at the 2019 National Religious Broadcasters Convention. We're in Anaheim, California. I'm joined by a very special guest, Priscilla Shire. She's a best-selling author, renowned speaker, Bible teacher, co-founder of Going Beyond Ministries. Her organization is focused on enabling Christian women everywhere to fulfill God's calling on their lives. She's written a number of best-selling books, most notably The Resolution for Women and Fervent, a women's battle plan for serious, specific, and strategic prayer. She's with us today to talk about her role, by the way, in an upcoming film called Overcomer, and share her heart for ministry work. Priscilla, it's good to see you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so grateful.
My goodness, the Lord has got his hands all over your life. You're quite busy, from being a mom to acting, writing, speaking. Priscilla, ever have any idea what God was going to do with your life?
Absolutely not. I don't think he lets us know too many steps ahead. Otherwise, we'd get intimidated by the whole thing. Gosh, at the top of that list is motherhood. Man, if I'm just trying to figure out what's for dinner tonight. That right there would overwhelm me in and of itself. So that's kind of my full-time job right there, is raising those boys.
You know, there seems to be a real stirring in Christianity today. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And there's a lot coming against the church, the people of God. At the same time, I think a hunger or a thirst. Are you seeing that as you're out there
interacting,
especially with women?
Yeah, absolutely. I see that there are very specific targeted attacks by the enemy to disunify, because the more we're sort of fighting with each other, the less time we have to join our ranks together in prayer and in spiritual warfare against him.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. So he's going to do everything he can to sort of divide us. And I definitely see that. But then, as you mentioned, I definitely see a stirring in the heart of believers to really see everything that God has for them come to fruition in their life.
You had been on the speaking circuit quite a bit, certainly very well known in Christianity, especially your mom and dad, you know, our regards to them.
I like them.
Yeah, they're good people. And you stepped into film back a few years ago. We saw you in movies like War Room, mm-hmm. I Can Only Imagine. Brand new one coming up. We're going to talk about Overcomer. Where'd this come from?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, one day, Alex and Stephen Kendrick called me and said, we are writing this film on prayer, and the main character, every time we write her words, we are thinking in our heads as we write, what would Priscilla Shire say? So we just think that you should just go ahead and do it for us. And I said, you got to be kidding. No way. You're not going to have me up there embarrassing myself. You know, we've all seen movies that could have been good, except the actor couldn't act, you know? Yeah. And so I just thought, man, there's no way I could do that. And they said, well, before you just say no, just read the script first. And of course, now if you've seen War Room, you know what I read that day, and that is that it's ministry. It wasn't just random entertainment. It was ministry. And so I really felt like it was another way to communicate a message I would have wanted to communicate anyway. And the only thing that would have kept me from doing it was fear and insecurity. That's never a good reason not to do something.
Oh, that exploded on the screen.
Yeah. So I just, it felt like a gift to me that the Lord didn't let my fear and insecurity keep me from being a part of it. Because the impact would have gone on with or without me, but I got the privilege of being a part of it, and I'm so grateful. So it's sort of those Kendrick brothers saying, come along for this ride, and I'm so grateful.
They keep things stirred up. I mean, there's a lot of energy, by the way. around this new film coming out, Overcomer.
Yeah.
You're in the heart of it. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's a great film that centers in on the issue of identity in Christ and where we find our value as believers. Do we place it in what we do for a living? Do we place it in any other of our physical demographics? All of those things are significant, but our ultimate value has to be placed in who God says that we are. So that's the heart of the film. It's centered in around a young African-American 15-year-old girl. I'm the principal at her school, and there's a web of relationships and events that sort of are in and around this young woman and how God begins to redeem her and then re-identify her so that she can behave in a way that is congruent with who she is in him.
Somebody said, really, the core message of it too is around discipleship, of growing up in Christ.
Yeah.
How does that weave its way in?
Yes.
Especially with your role, your character. I think, is it Olivia Brooks or something?
Yeah, yeah. Olivia Brooks is the principal of the school. So Alex Kendrick's character, who is John Harris, he works at the school. He's one of the coaches at the school. And then, of course, the student. So both of those characters are sort of trying to find their way because John loses his job. All of his significance was hung up in his job. So he's got some maturity that needs to develop there where he doesn't even know. Here he is, an adult man who'd been following the Lord for a while. And it doesn't even occur to him until he loses something that his identity had been attached to that. The way that it decimates him and devastates him emotionally lets him know that that thing was actually an idol. It was in an illegitimate role of authority and value in my life. And sometimes for all of us that are growing in the Lord, we don't know we have idols until God prunes us, as John 15 says. He sort of severs those things from our life. And then all of a sudden, the way it affects us lets us know it was seated on the throne and really only our God should be placed there.
You know, I was tracking some of your ministry, saw a recent video post of you, and it was centered around the theme of revival.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's an old-fashioned word here just for a moment, but there's some fire in you coming out about lighting up people in their everyday faith walk.
Yeah.
Where's that birth from? I mean, what's driving that?
Well, you know, it's this idea that God is in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us, which means we don't have to be in a specific building or a specific setting to have church. We are the church. We're supposed to be living out our faith in every aspect of our life, which means that as we move about our regular work, doesn't have to be vocational ministry. It means as a secretary, as a lawyer, as a physician, right there in that setting, we're supposed to bring the fruit of God's Spirit in our life, operating in those dynamics, in our schools, our universities, as students, whatever, that wherever we are, there ought to be a fingerprint of God's presence there. And if it matters to God, man, it should matter to us, and people should hear in our words, they should see in our compassion towards others, and also in our values and our morals. No matter what we're doing and how it outworks, the fingerprints of God should be on it because we're there.
When I think of the Kendrick brothers and film just for a moment, I think of my son, Zach. Remember when the movie Facing the Giants came out?
Yeah.
And what it did for him. Mm. And there, for the first time, there was a connection with film. And a lot of people say the media and the arts battle is where Christianity, the war is right now. If we don't take back the media and the arts, if we don't do more of this, you know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We lose because our kids are so impressionistic, these personal digital devices that
yep.
carry around their hands.
Yep.
It's where they live.
Yeah.
You know that? And so they're tracking all this and they're engaged in this kind of messaging. I mean, we've got to do this stuff.
Yeah. And think about how amazing it is that we happen to live in this point in history when there has never been so much attention given to faith-based films. They have never received this sort of accolade. And what I mean by that is not that they need the approval of everyone, but because they have had that, there's a breadth of influence right now that is possible. The technical excellence that we're seeing in these films is unmatched in terms of what we've seen in previous decades in terms of the faith-based film industry. So we've got technical excellence, great storytelling. They're pulling in some actors and actresses, even ones that have name recognition.
Sure.
Nobody's sugarcoating the message of the gospel. They're saying his name is Jesus. He's the only way. And we're glad you came for some good popcorn. But while you're here, we're going to tell you that there is a way for you to experience the abundant life that actually you were created for.
Let's go back to Overcomer just for a second. And were there a couple of moments in there where it was just like the light switch just clicked? This is it. This is a moment that you think people are going to see on screen.
Yeah. I have this one scene where I get the opportunity to lead this young woman to the Lord. And I loved filming that part of it because there was a script. But at some point, Alex said, actually, I want you to do it as we've written it a couple times, but then I just want you to do it like Priscilla would. Wow. How would you lead this young woman to the Lord? And that's the clip that he actually used in the film.
Really?
So in that moment, we were all kind of stirred in the sense that here's a principal at a school leading a young woman who has, she's got tenderness in her heart enough to see that this young woman needs more than just a good education. She needs someone to actually pay attention to what's happening in her life and then offer her the truth of Jesus Christ. So this principal, this professional woman sits down, takes time out of her day to just carve out attention with one young woman and lead her to the Lord. And I'm hoping that that moment not only will give people in theaters words to pray themselves, if they are wondering, how do I accept Christ as my Savior? What does that even look like? We're hoping that that will be a prototype for them. We prayed to that end before we filmed it. But also I'm hoping that it will stir in professionals everywhere an idea that could it be that God could open up your eyes to that one student or that one coworker or your boss or someone that you, you know, the barista behind the counter at Starbucks that you see every morning when you get that cup of coffee. Could it be that the Lord might open up your eyes to say, in an organic way, how can I draw this person into a relationship with Jesus Christ?
You may be the only Jesus they'll ever see.
That's right. That's right.
That you may be the person that God has chosen to speak his words through. A lot of people have fear, you know, that they get intimidated by the message, but it's the greatest news in the whole world. Priscilla, you have a real passion for women. We know that there's been a lot of conversation about abuse, painful past, let's call them sins against women, and these scars, these trauma experiences they carry. What do you say to women in those moments?
Yeah, well, the first thing is to go ahead and be open and authentic with what happened. I think we've been taught we need to keep it all closed in. What happened behind closed doors stays behind closed doors. That was family business. And so we've kind of grown used to harboring it all.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing is to know that it is okay for you to tell your story. In fact, healing is going to start there with you finding a person that cares about you with whom you can be vulnerable and authentic.
A safe place.
That's a great way to say it. Yes, a safe place to go ahead and say, here, it is what it is. This is what happened without having to shroud it or sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
And then to have your heart and hands open for the possibility that not only can God give you a balm to heal that wound. You may never forget, but he can heal it. And then he can actually reuse it. Like somehow he takes messes and makes them our message, our miracle, that the testimony that some other young woman at some point is going to need is going to come through your authentic story. That he can do that. He will do that. You know, evil happens, bad things happen, and you can either become bitter and blame God for it, or actually say, Lord, I still know you can use this despite the fact that it is not what you intended for me or purposed for me. And so I think it starts with authenticity, and then it continues with an open heart and open hands to how God can use that to further his purposes through your life and story.
It's easy to get lost, you know, to feel like you've lost your voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are responsible to figure out the path forward.
Yes.
And that's where people have to come in and speak life into them.
That's right.
Go back to the movie, the theme, overcomer. Overcomer of what?
Overcomer of all of those things that would seek to silence us, to quiet us, to keep us from living out our full identity, to discourage us. That's the enemy's goal. The enemy wants to so discourage and distract you as a believer. He can't destroy you. That possibility is over. But he can so discourage you and distract you that you never actually get around to being who God has called you to be. You never get there because you're so discouraged all the time. And so this is about overcoming that and recognizing who you are, who Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 says that you are. I literally say that in the movie, by the way. My character says to this young woman, I want you to read Ephesians 1 and 2 and write down everything that it says that you are so that you can get busy overcoming all of the things that the enemy is going to use to stifle you and to hinder you from living up to who you have the potential to be in
Jesus. There's power in that relationship. That's what Paul was talking
about.
Yeah,
totally.
There's power in it.
Totally.
You have really developed a reputation as a woman of prayer. You know, go back to War Room and more.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
people, when they think of Priscilla, I certainly believe this. I know my wife Julie thinks this when she thinks of you.
Mm.
It's prayer.
Oh.
Talk to us about the power of prayer in life's journey.
Yeah.
Because man who's born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble.
That's right.
How does prayer anchor us?
Well, prayer, you know, prayer is the key that God himself has given us to use to unlock all the resources of heaven and unleash them on planet Earth. That's what prayer is. It's that key. Why wouldn't we use a key like that? And so I certainly am not as perfect or as passionate about prayer as probably everyone perceives me to be. I have a lot of growing and maturing in my own prayer life. But I'll tell you what I have kind of adopted into my prayer experience, and that is strategizing in prayer, that it used to be a little bit more haphazard than it is right now. Now I want to know what it is that I'm asking God for, or that I want to go into prayer regarding, and then what promises from His Word can I align, can I word into this prayer? Even though I have to write it down so that I can reword God's own promises and pray those back to Him. And then also when I go into prayer, it's less about asking and it's more about saying, Lord, how do you want to change my perspective? Give me the mind of Christ in regard to this situation. Lord, in regard to my son, what is your mind for this son of mine? Can you please give me insight on how to best pray for him? So I go into prayer less just saying, here's what I want, and more about, Lord, here's what your word says. I'm going to claim this literally out loud in prayer. I'm going to write it down so I don't forget what verse this is. And then I'm going to pray it out loud and stand on your promises. And then God, here I am with you. And my heart is open so that you can conform me into the image of your son. So prayer becomes less than about what it is you want and more about what he wants for you and what he wants for me. So that's kind of how
dialing in at that level.
That's right. That's right. It becomes less about talking and more about listening, hearing what it is that God is saying to you through his word.
You know, years ago, I read a little piece out of Richard Foster's book on prayer. It was kind of an eye opener for me. It was one of the greatest deterrents to an effective prayer life is the belief that everything has to be right before you can pray.
Yeah.
You know that?
We would never pray.
We'd never pray. That's right. We'd never go there. And then we would fear that we couldn't tap into the power of God.
Yeah.
In that journey. Do you see that as being
I absolutely see that. And I also feel that busyness is another hindrance to prayer. And that one thing that Brother Lawrence gave us, speaking of old books, is this concept of practicing the presence of God, which, listen, is what I do. I've got three boys that I'm raising. I think people think I'm like sitting on a mountaintop fasting and praying. I'm trying to figure out what's for dinner tonight is what I'm doing. And I've got laundry to do. And so you know what? While I'm doing that, I can be practicing the presence of God. I can be speaking to him in the car, running errands. Lord, here's what's on my heart. Here's what I feel you saying. Here's the person I encountered today. Lord, can I just whisper their name to you and ask you to meet them in the point of their need? I mean, just praying while we're in the midst of life. Maybe this is what Paul meant when he said, pray without ceasing. You're not isolated on your knees somewhere doing that. You're going throughout the nuances of life. And sometimes for Priscilla Shire, that's what prayer looks like. It looks like me meditating on God's word while I'm literally washing dishes.
Julie would probably say another piece, Priscilla, would be ask her about the armor of God stuff that she does.
Yeah.
You know, prayer, armor of God.
That's right. Okay, that's right.
Bring these together. I mean, we're on a journey here of overcoming.
That's right.
How does that fit in?
Well, you know, Ephesians 6 is all about that. It's all about standing firm against the schemes of the enemy. And by the way, the book of Ephesians is so beautiful because the first half of it is about identity. It's all about here's who you are.
Yep.
And now he's going to tell you how to stand, how not to let the enemy rob you of the beauty and the power of who you are. So he goes into, here are the pieces of armor. Here's the way you fight spiritual battles. You can use worldly weapons all you want, your words, your own rationale, your money, your degrees. You can use that all you want, but it's only going to deal with surface level issues, which means if it's a spiritual issue that is at the root of this and you don't use spiritual weapons, then you're going to continue to see new issues arrive above the surface. So here we go with all these traditionally taught six pieces of armor, but that seventh piece is right after the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, and pray. Yep. That's included right there with the weaponry, with the armory, is prayer. Prayer is like the activation mechanism for all the other six pieces of armor. It's what gets them into their full expression in your life of defending against the schemes of the enemy.
How do you keep all that in play with everything that's going on and the noise, even in your own life, you know, keeping yourself anchored and rooted with your own family? How do you keep emotional closeness with God, emotional closeness with them?
You know, Jill Briscoe said to me years ago something I've never forgotten.
Jill.
Yeah, she's amazing, powerful. Right? Like a legend.
Oh, yeah.
And this is maybe, 16 years ago, I was somewhere with her. And she said to me, Priscilla, the priorities of life are like, let's say you have 10 of them, and there are 10 clear boxes that are sitting in front of you symbolizing these these needs and priorities you have in your life. She said most women think that balance is filling up all of them equally across the board. So she said, picture this blue watery substance in all of these clear boxes, and you can see they're almost full, all of them across the board. Most women think that's balance. She said it's not. That's a recipe for exhaustion and frustration. She said balance is better to speak of as alignment. It's going to God and saying, Lord, for this season of my life, which of these boxes need to be at the front of this line and which need to be in the back? And then giving yourself permission and asking God for a Holy Spirit courage to push the stuff to the back that needs to go to the back for this season and to bring those to the front that need to be in the front. And trust Him in knowing that seasons change and you're going to have to do a realigning at another time. But for right now, and to answer your question, I know there are three or four boxes that I can fill up, which means that I say a whole lot of no's to the other six or seven that are sitting there. It looks to me like they're just barely filled up with the time and attention that I'd like to give them at some other time. Yeah. But right now, I've got to be a wife to my man. That will never change. Mm-hmm. I've got to be a daughter to my King, Jesus Christ, and that will never change. And I've got these boys that I'm raising. That's that third box. Ministry kind of comes after that. And Lord, how do I fill these up with my time, my talents, my investment? How do I fill these up in a way that will be honoring to you until the seasons change and you realign, because boys go off to college.
You're Judea, you know, then you're Samaria.
That's right.
Then the uttermost parts of the world.
That's right. So I'm just trying to honor that. I certainly don't do that perfect. My quiet time is not as faithful as I'd like it to be or as long as I'd like it to be. But, you know, I try my best to just fill up these boxes in the way that I'm able to and honor God with those priorities.
Speak to the listener out there, the woman who... she knows of you. She's probably gone through some of your Bible studies. She certainly watched you. She doesn't feel like she has a place or a voice, you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yet she does.
Yep.
God's given her a platform.
That's right.
And
that's
she always has an audience of one. Can you remind her? What do you speak into her?
Yes, that our value is not determined by the applause or the approbation or the approval of other people. That our value really does come from honoring the commitments that God has given us in a particular season, which means if you are successful out there and everybody's cheering for you, but what God has called you to do is in a smaller circle, it's with discipling that one young woman at your church. If you are not honoring God in that way, then you may be applauded by people, but the applause of heaven isn't for you, isn't with you, because you're not doing what God has asked you to do. So I say that to say, man, if you're teaching a Bible study of like three or four women that are faithfully coming to your home, or you are attending to those teenagers that show up because they're your daughter's friends and they show up and man, you're taking care of them. If those toddlers around your table, man, they're hearing the word of God because you're sharing a Bible verse with them and they've got to memorize it with you and you're praying with them before bed, you're holding it down maybe while your spouse is either not there, not present because you're a single mother or because it's just not available because of work or whatever. Man, don't think that that is not where lives are changed. That's the real ministry that's happening right there as you honor God in those small circles.
And you never know when you're raising maybe the next Billy Graham or Tony
Evans.
That's
exactly right.
Beth Moore, whoever. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that faithfulness is everything.
That's right.
But it's hard to go there when you live in this big, fast-paced world.
That's right.
Yeah. Priscilla, let's kind of wrap this up and go to Going Beyond Ministries. Where do you see yourself going? What's God really burdening in your heart right now?
You know that we need not only to continue a deeper appreciation with the Word of God. The crux of our ministry has been to draw a women in particular into a deeper understanding of the Word of God, and then combining that with the power of God's Spirit to see that stuff take root in them and actually bear some fruit in their life, not just knowing it, but living it out. But then also calling people to be more tender toward each other. I think something you mentioned at the top of this interview, that as believers, we can be so divided one from the other. And I see our ministry as being a bridge between black audiences and white audiences, between charismatic and conservative, that here we are. If you name the name of Jesus Christ, you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then yeah, we might differ on theological issues. We might differ on some style issues. Can we please all be on the same team, honor each other, care about the issues that each other may have and may face and be tender toward those, listen to those, don't dismiss those, and come to the table as we are, our own unique expressions and styles. Let's receive each other and then turn our attention together in one unified front against the enemy and our faces turned upward to our God in praise and worship of who he is.
God, help us to go there. Priscilla, thank you for your faithfulness. We love and appreciate your ministry and just pray God puts a hedge around you as you go forward.
I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Bless you.
I'm Roger Marsh, and what a powerful broadcast we've just heard today here on Family Talk, as Dr. Tim Clinton has been our host, alongside his guest, best-selling author, Bible teacher, and actress Priscilla Shire. I hope you will go out tonight or sometime this weekend and support this new film called Overcomer. It's a great family movie that encourages believers to find their identity and purpose in God and God alone. Visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org for details about this brand new movie. There we'll also have a link for Priscilla Shire's ministry and her numerous resources available as well. So go now to drjamesdobson.org and then click onto our broadcast page. Well, that's all the time we have for this week. Be sure to join us again Monday for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.